Dearly beloved in Christ, there is a short prayer that I'm sure we're all very familiar with. And that prayer goes, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto thine. Clearly, these are the two attributes most closely connected with the idea of Jesus' heart, that is, meekness and humility. You may have heard the explanation before, but I'd like to reiterate the specific teaching that the church has approved and given to us. And it is the idea that the heart is the most noble organ of the humanity of Jesus Christ. The heart represents love, and the most sacred heart of Jesus most clearly illustrates his love for us. The material or sensible object of this devotion, says one author speaking on devotion to the Sacred Heart, is the heart of the incarnate Word, inseparably united to his humanity and his divinity, and as much an object of worship as Jesus Christ himself, with whom it is identified. The spiritual or abstract object is the love of Jesus Christ, of which his heart is the symbol. In whatever way, therefore, we consider it, the object of this devotion is all that we can imagine most worthy of our adoration. It is the heart of a God who loves us tenderly. It is Jesus Christ himself, represented by the most noble organ of his humanity and the most beautiful attribute of his divinity, his love. And we gather from this that the heart of Jesus may be adored or given the worship proper to God precisely because it is God. This specific doctrine is called the hypostatic union, and a more complex way of saying that there are two natures in the single person of Jesus Christ, God and man. This is why the humanity of Christ was incapable of sin. Not only had he never contracted original sin, and certainly never committed an actual sin, but furthermore, it was impossible for him to commit sin. At a few points, we know that Jesus allowed himself to be tempted by Satan, but these were only exterior temptations, which could absolutely never assault his pure heart or cause him to waver. Not so for us. We must rely on the strength of God's grace to bolster us up against the attacks of the devil, which assuredly will be violent and frequent. One meditation book had this to say about our struggle with temptations. Whatever care we may take to repress sin, we can never be wholly free from temptations in this world. The evil inclinations implanted by the sin of our first parents will always be a source of trial and temptation to us. It is only by a constant struggle that we can keep them in subjection. We are thus constrained to live always at war with ourselves, or, as the Apostle expresses it, with the law of sin that is in our members. Let us take courage. The fiercer the struggle, the more glorious will be the victory, and the brighter our crown in heaven. Moreover, the heart of Jesus is always open to us as a sure refuge and resting place. But getting back to the original thoughts of this sermon, I'd like to speak about the meekness and humility of Jesus' sacred heart. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, our Lord says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." From the same meditation book, we read that every page of the Holy Gospels bears witness to this. What could be more sweet than these words of our Lord? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Or again, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy children as the bird doth her brood under her wings, and thou wouldst not. And again, the words he addressed to the traitor Judas in the very act of consummating his crime, "Friend, whereto art thou come?" Judas, dost thou betray the Son of Man with a kiss? What meekness above all in the prayer which he made on the cross for his executioners. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The author goes on to put a question to the reader as food for thought. If it be true, he writes, that from the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, must we not conclude that our own hearts are still far from being like that of our divine Savior? We are so harsh in our judgments of others, so ready to exaggerate their faults, to reprove them, to publish their faults. Jesus answers with such meekness when he is unjustly accused, and we break into sharp words when we are told of our own faults. Jesus finds excuses for his executioners, but we are angry if we only imagine that someone desires to do us an injury. Now, what about the humility of the Sacred Heart? Yet again, the author points us to look at what Jesus said, using the same quote from Scripture about the mouth speaking from the abundance of the heart. So let us look to the words of our Lord. And thus, his humility showed itself in his conversation with men. Did he ever seek to exalt himself? No. Gloria mea nihil est. My glory is nothing, he said. He spoke always of his Father's glory, and this in terms of such magnificence that the apostles, filled with wonder, said to him at the Last Supper, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. He continues, the whole life of our blessed Lord upon earth was one series of humiliations. He endured them voluntarily to make reparation for the insulted majesty of his Father, to pay the debt of our pride, and to set us an example of humility. He was born in a stable. He lived for 30 years unknown to the world. And during the 3 years of his public ministry, he allowed the envious and calumniators to accuse him of being a seducer, an impostor, and even possessed by the devil. He was crucified as a criminal between two thieves. Could he have done more to abase and annihilate himself? If we wish to save our souls and become holy, we must follow in the footsteps of our Lord, and that means we must also follow him in his meekness and humility. Instead of seeking power, fame, honors, and praises in this world, we should seek to be hidden from the eyes of the world and even desire to be rejected, just as our Lord was. In this way, we will become pleasing in the sight of God alone, and that's what really counts. If we are blessed with high positions or authority or importance in this world, let us work hard for love of God, not for love of praise. Let us shut out the world from our hearts that we may imitate our Lord, who was most meek and humble of heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.